Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Joe Connor. He is president of the Carthage Veterinary Clinic in Illinois. Joe, nice to see you.
Yes, likewise. Thanks, Joe. Good to be here.
We've both seen a lot of changes in this industry, and one of them, of course, just this past January, was the introduction of the new veterinary feed directive rules, but they're not all that new to the pork industry, I guess.
That's correct, because we've had, Joe, some antibiotics that did require VFDs prior to January 1st, 2017. What the change was that a number of antibiotics came underneath the VFDs on that particular date, and the growth promotants as we knew them in the past then were no longer able to be used as we knew them.
And I know pork producers have a good track record of using antibiotics responsibly, but some of these common medications, or medications that they were commonly using, like chlortetracycline, Tylosin, suddenly they need a VFD now.
Yeah, that's correct. And under the new requirements, as you're aware, it was an effort to put antibiotics under more prudent and sustainable use by putting them underneath the direction of the veterinarian. And so in these requirements, we have to use the label claim as it's listed as part of that VFD.
Change is always difficult, Joe. Now, with some of these medications, there were some that were probably being used more often than not, whether they be for common respiratory or enteric diseases. Are there particular situations that might be harder to adjust to as a result of the VFD rules?
I think, Joe, for us overall, it has been relatively seamless as we adjusted and our clients adjusted to the VFDs. Where we did see some changes would be matching the duration of what certain antibiotics could be fed to the VFD, whereas before, our producers may have been more lax and may have included them for longer periods of time. It's important that we match up the duration of feeding closely with or exactly with the VFD as it's listed. And so it has taken some adjustments in terms of how long we might feed that diet so it matched up to just the practicality of volume of feed deliveries and the duration that those pigs might be in a particular site.
Do you expect, with the downturn usage in antibiotics, which can be a good thing for the industry, but on the other hand, is it possible that we might see some older health problems reemerge as a result?
Now, that's an interesting question, because if we have seen in our clients, as VFDs came in, a request to put programs in place that would have minimal use of antibiotics, particularly in the grow finish pigs. One of the organisms that I expect will be more challenging will be Mycoplasma hyosinovii, which frequently for us occurs in pigs at 140 to 160 pounds of body weight. We would have routinely put an antibiotic in that particular diet during that age of the pig. We'll find out here in the next 3 to 6 months how we're going to handle hyosinovii today.
What about enteric issues? Do you expect any older enteric problems to come along?
I do expect, and we've already seen in some cases, that F18, E. coli's have increased in the early post-weaning phase. Generally, when producers have asked us to remove, or for themselves to remove, all the antibiotics even out of that nursery phase. So that's an organism that infrequently would create mortality or diarrhea for producers in the past. We have seen two cases where we've had acute death losses that have occurred.
So what kinds of changes are you encouraging your producers to explore to manage these problems?
We're opening up the opportunity and asking them, Joe, to take a look at vaccines that are available, And on several of these, E. coli being a good example we just talked about, their vaccines are generally effective. Mm-hmm. There are other control measures we can still use without a VFD in the nursery diets. Many of those E. coli's have returned sensitive to neomycin. So in that case, they would look at pulse water medication for a period of time. And then we've also encouraged them to review their diets. We know that there can be an influence with respect to the digestibility of a diet and then the expression of E. coli. And then we've asked them to look at intense sanitation, particularly between groups of pigs that would decrease the challenge doses.
Do diagnostics become even more important under these new rules?
They become more important to validate our recommendations for VFDs and for water solubles, because as you're aware, not only did many of the feed antibiotics become under VFDs, but also our water soluble antibiotics became under prescription. So the diagnostics are important for us to link the organism, the sensitivity, and with what our recommendations are.
Now, we know that the antibiotics that are classified as being medically important, they no longer have performance claims for things like feed conversion and increased rate of growth. Yet there are still some feed antibiotics that are not considered medically important, bacitracin, for example, that still have those claims. Do you think, is that clear to the industry? Is that something that you're still advocating?
I think, Joe, that's clear to the industry. I think the industry's done a great job of reiterating what antibiotics would be non-medically important and what antibiotics would require VFDs. And today, if a VFD is required, we're not going to get, or the producer's not going to get that antibiotic included in the feed unless it has a valid veterinary feed directive on record.
Lastly, Joe, just the other week, a major pork producer in the United States announced that they were going to be coming out with a line of antibiotic-free pork. Do you see this as a trend for the future?
Early in 2016, Joe, we had a lot of inquiries from our clients about trying to fulfill that part of the market. And there were estimates published from several different sources that market might actually be about 20%. So you could see why the interest would be there with producers. So we did, and we have participated with clients in programs that are antibiotic free. With the improved health, we're finding that we do have some flows that we'll be able to fulfill that requirement. I anticipate that we'll fairly quickly fulfill the market need for antibiotic-free pigs. And I think the programs are not necessarily standardized today, because there are programs that are antibiotic-free from weaning to market, there are programs that are antibiotic-free from conception or maybe birth to market. So we have to work through the strengths and weaknesses of both of those programs and still result in a pig that is going to give us excellent performance back to the producer.
Now, years ago in the poultry industry, they had a very small percentage of producers that were producing antibiotic-free poultry. I think that went to about 12% in 2015 and may have doubled in 2016. And so now they have a multiple-tiered market. They have the conventional poultry production, they have the antibiotic-free, and then they have others that are maybe just using non-medically important antibiotics. Do you see that happening in the pork industry down the road?
I do see it happening, and I think a good question we all have to see is, what is a consumer willing to pay for the difference, if it truly exists, between an antibiotic-free and a non-antibiotic-free? I think we all got to remember that producers have always been harvesting pigs that had antibiotics or fulfilling their withdrawal times. And so this is an extension of that when we go to an antibiotic-free. The consumer pricing difference, I think, will be the really driver as to where we really end up with as a percentage of our production that we will use to fulfill that requirement.